Hello and welcome back to another episode of the EFL Freezer Crowd podcast. As always, I'm joined by Andy.
Afternoon, all.
Afternoon. And Luke.
Right, guys, how are we?
Yeah, not too bad, mate. In a week where Swansea had a goal of the week competition with themselves, Ellery Balcombe saves the day, and Nathan Jones feels physically sick, welcome back to the pod.
That'll fucking do me. Come on, let's go.
Well, I think we'll start with our teams this week, and not a bad return. Some draws across the week, a couple of points picked up between us. What do we think? Andy, how are Millwall?
Well, I think if you could have predicted what we were going to do this week, you'd say the draw specialists pick up two draws. We've done that. You know, you can't ask for much more this season. We've joked in the past about us going for the draws record, haven't we? But it really is on now, isn't it? We've drawn half our games. And I think if we keep that up, we'll level it. But yeah, it's got to be only a matter of time till we turn a few of them into wins, surely.
Well, you say surely. We're now over halfway in the season and doesn't look like it's changing too much.
Not with Norwich on Friday as well. Not Friday,
take a point.
Tuesday. Yeah, we'll take a point. Yeah,
how many more do you actually need? Do you know?
Well, the record was, it was 23, I think. It was half of the season. And we've drawn half our games so far.
So. It's on.
Look at that trajectory.
Anyway, not too much to say about Millwall this week. Two pretty predictable games. Drawing 0-0 at home to Watford. Bore fest. Snooze fest. And then away at Cardiff. Taking the lead early on. Then getting back into it. Levelling it. And then just both settling out for a draw. I mean, it's really predictable at the moment. Yeah. Not in a funny way. I don't know why I laughed.
Funny for me.
How many in Cardiff and Millwall drawn in a row now?
Seven in a row now, our meetings. I mean, I've been to away at Cardiff, I think just twice. They were both 0-0. So I'm not sure I'm going to go over the seven again.
I suppose they do say, why change a winning formula? And you've drawn all the other times, so why not just draw again? Take a point, shake hands at full time and off you pop.
Yeah, it's getting a bit too friendly between the two clubs at the moment. Even with Sir Mick McCarthy back in, he couldn't change it.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I suppose that's something. You've managed to avoid getting beaten in what can sometimes be a bit of a honeymoon period for a new manager, although I think that's two draws for him now.
Yeah, he's come back from a losing position in both games. So, and they are playing a completely different way to under Harris by the look of it. But yeah, if he can get Kiefer Moore scoring, he scored a really good goal against us. Something that Harris couldn't do. they should find their way up the table. But anyway, we're not here to talk about them, are we? We're here to talk about...
Are we not?
We've got 2 points this week. Coventry have managed to get four.
Well, exactly. That'll do me. 4 points. We've start of three massive games for us was Sheffield Wednesday on Wednesday. And managing to kind of grind out a result was huge. Beating them 2-0. Difficult game to watch, that one, actually. Pitch was an absolute mud bath. Both teams just sort of, I just don't know, really. There wasn't much about it. And then just two bits of quality. Both come from O'Hare, which is nice to see. And we've beaten them 2-0. Massive 3 points just to open that gap up a little bit. And then Saturday against Birmingham, obviously still being talked about due to the whole landlord tenant thing, but getting a little bit bored of that now.
We'll get your own stadium then, mate.
Sorry, just give me a sec. I'll just phone up Joy Sapella, owner of Coventry City, and give her a new stadium. I think, to be honest, we probably did enough to get a second on Saturday and go and win it. But talking of records, and I'm pretty sure we're finding our feet trying to get a nice little penalty conceded record. I don't know how many it would need to be for the most penalties conceded in a season, but it's getting ridiculous now. And it looks like we're actually trying to give them away.
I did look into this, and it's 9 penalties now, I think, they've conceded. But the funny thing is, as far as I can tell, they've all been scored as well. I don't think they've saved one of them. It's like, if you're going to give them away, you think you'd at least save 1 of 9.
Sort of, I think I spoke about this about 5 penalties ago, and we're probably about 4 or 5, and we're saying it was ridiculous, and now we're up to 9. And I remember Robbins doing a pretty frustrated interview about how we just need to stop giving them away now. I think maybe we've got to the point where we just need to start practicing saving them in training rather than just scrap it. We're obviously going to give them away. It's something that's going to happen. And judging by Saturday, is Sam McCallum doing his best Karate Kid impression to take out their player at the hip? It really doesn't look like we're even trying anymore. I think just give them a goal. There wasn't much you could do about the penalty at the weekend. It was pretty emphatically put away. Wilson went the right way, but you're not saving them. But yeah, we move on to Forest in our midweek game. So Sheffield Wednesday, Birmingham and Forest is really a run that we need to be trying to get points out of. 4 from 2, I'll take it. I think we play 4 games on the bounce at home. At home, yeah, inverted commas. And we've... So really need to be picking up some points because that home form has been pretty good across the last 2 years. So we'll see how we're getting on in the midweek. But yeah, pretty happy, to be honest. And some fans starting to suggest we can look up the table rather than down. Oh. Again, I'm still...
not you.
I'm still not in there yet. I'm still not in there yet.
Well, if you look up one place, you'll see. Mind the gap. Anyway, Carlisle. They're back at home, Luke, and they're winning again.
Yeah, first game in a long time. A lot of the players on Twitter have said how they were itching to get out playing again. So's Chris Beach. And they've managed to keep out...
You can get cream for that now.
they've managed to keep out... they've managed to keep out probably the best attacking team in the league in Exeter. 1-0, job done. Lovely goal. But what I was disappointed to see was no Gimi Touré and no Jake Taylor. Now, Gimi Touré's back in the side after going missing for about a month, returning back to France. But in the reverse fixture earlier this season, Gimi Touré actually pulled out the most stupendous headbutt against Exeter's captain, Jake Taylor, which is going to take some beating for headbutt of the season. And neither of them started. Gutted.
Where do you begin with that? He's quickly gone over the... Yeah, we're back at home. Yeah, we've won. Anyway, what I really want to talk about is... it's just like... apologies points. To the Carlisle fans listening.
3 points just isn't good enough. There has to be some sort of headbutt involved.
Of course, there is going to be a headbutt of the season, by the way. seriousness, what a great 3 points. And gives them a bit of a chance of building towards that promotion, particularly with the games in hand.
3 games in hand they've got on the leaders now, and they're only ahead on goal difference. So this is a huge run now. Massive opportunity for the promotion push, and hopefully old Chris Beach can take it.
So, boys, what else has happened in the EFL this week? I mean... mentioned Nathan Jones last week. He's always a bit of a character in his post-match interviews. He's at it again. They've lost 1-0 and he's not feeling too good, is he?
I feel physically sick, literally sick. I could be sick. I thought we were excellent.
He couldn't get the words out. That's how sick. There was sick in his mouth. He couldn't get his head round the fact that they've lost 1-0 at Blackburn. He also did go on to say that Blackburn didn't have a clear-cut chance all game. But, I mean, Adam Armstrong heading in from about 3 yards out suggests otherwise to win the game.
Pretty clear-cut, that, isn't it, when the ball's in the net?
Do they have a reason to be a bit annoyed there with their Blackburn goal, James?
I think there's a case, yeah. Feels harsh, doesn't it? It feels harsh. Like you say, I think he felt like they'd played well enough to get something out of the game. So to be caught out by that does feel a bit harsh. I don't know what the rule... I mean, what is the rule on that?
Yeah, for those who haven't seen it, the ball gets hit into a player. He goes down winded. So they stop the game and then restart it with Blackburn on the ball. Normally, They just pass it back and start the attack again. But they've just whipped it into the box and it's been headed back across, I think. And then Armstrong's headed it into the net. Like you say, I think it is just Luton switching off. So yeah, he's got a right to be annoyed with his own players more than the Blackburn ones, I think. But is it enough to make him feel physically sick? To ask
Clearly
him.
It is. You can see why he's annoyed, but equally, switch on. You've done a good job for the whole game. You can't afford to switch off at this level, can you? So...
Other news, Brentford have hit 7 past Wickham.
Just 7.
Yeah, we were kind of, I know we were sort of talking as the goals were going in on Saturday. And that goal for Brentford to get the third comes from a penalty, which in my opinion is not a penalty. Fred Onyedinma's attempted to clear the ball and it is a bit of a scuffed clearance and it feels harsh and then that's just a downfall. But then to go on and concede another 3 goals on top of that, well, 4 goals on top of that, sorry. Yeah, 7. Doesn't make for good reading for Wickham fans, does it?
Yeah, they were pretty good in the first half, though, because it was 2-2 at half-time and a couple of really good goals. And I think they were matching Brentford. And then they just, after that clearly dodgy penalty, they just fell apart. And they haven't been fighting like they have seemingly all season. And they've lost a lot of games like 1-0 here and there. And their defence really isn't that bad for, well, like everyone's talked about, the size of the squad and the money that they have. They haven't been defending that badly, but they just fell apart second half.
In the bottom 2 budgets in the league, I think.
I think they're the only ones who can definitively say that. Yeah, you're right, because Ryan Allsop in the Wickham goal actually made some good saves as well.
Yeah, you've got to
feel bad for him to... He'll have the backache, the classic backache, picking the ball out of his own net so many times. Ick Piazu as well for Wickham, played really well. For a guy who doesn't score many goals, he just looks a different player this season under Ainsworth. So the quick feet, I didn't realise he had those quick feet to cut inside. His first goal especially was really good. So, I mean, there are signs there for Wickham. But then again, they did lose 7-2.
They actually had the chance to go 3-2 up themselves as well. They looked like they were some great movement in the first half. But I think someone like Brentford have always got goals in them. And if you switch off against a team like that, you are going to get caught out. There's been some argument, I believe, whether it was a Tony hat-trick or not, which the picture of him with the 3 fingers suggests he's nicking that hat-trick there. So, but yeah, to lose 7-2 is not great, is it? Not great by anyone's standards. I think we saw some pretty big transfer news come in at Swansea this week with Conor Hourihan being brought in. And I actually saw that Dean Smith had said he didn't want him to go. And it does look a great signing and what a start he's got off to. And Swansea actually look like they're having a bit of a goal of the week competition with themselves this weekend.
Yeah, Hourihan's done this 2 years ago. He's won promotion with Villa. And he looks quite comfortable at this level. And that first goal was a stunner. And what's that, 2-2? They've won both of those games. Swansea on a march now. Yeah, they really look like one of the best teams in this league. And they're really on for that promotion push.
Yeah, I think they look like the best team in the division at the moment. Big call. But I'd be very surprised if they don't end up in there. Well, probably the top 3, but we'll see. Jamal Lowe firing as well. And Hourihan could just be the... cherry on that particular Welsh cake.
Yeah, and just when you thought Hourihan had scored a potential goal of the week, Grimes steps up and fires a beauty in as well. So, yeah, they've got goals in them all over the pitch as well by the looks. But, yeah, it's going to be hard to see anyone stopping them this season. And, bringing someone like Hourihan in is just makes you realise, doesn't it, what some clubs have got at their disposal. Well, it's not fair. It's not fair, is it?
Yeah, bitter.
Well, a little bit bitter, yeah. You look at their bench and then I look at the Coventry one and go, Amadou Bakayoko. Yeah, I mean, I'm giving him a lot of stick here, so.
And he's not always on the bench. He's on the pitch.
Well, you've mentioned Ryan Allsop's backache from having to pick the ball out of the net so many times this weekend. And down into League One, a goalkeeper who had a slightly better weekend. Ellery Balcombe with 2 brilliant penalty saves in a huge game as well.
Yeah, 2 teams that are absolutely flying in League One. Massive game. But, you know, I don't want to be harsh on him, but what is he doing when he's giving away that second penalty? He's
going on
penalties.
An absolute adventure.
Saved two penalties to win his team the game, but I've had a pop at him before celebrating that. But one thing that I did say earlier to you is that he doesn't even parry those penalties away. They're good penalties. And he just stops them and like holds them. Incredible.
Yeah. They are incredible saves, to be fair. They're not even sort of tamely hit. They're both heading for the corners. They're both hit with a little bit of conviction. And he's held on to both of them. They're awesome saves. And just topping off a great weekend for Brentford fans.
Yeah, since losing captain Ben Whiteman, you needed players to step up. And you think, oh, maybe it can be Taylor Richards. He's a centre mid. No, it's the goalkeeper. Mental. But like, they've got games in hand. They win those, they're top. It's Doncaster and Moore just on a charge. Oh, Darren Moore.
You are the chosen one. No, sorry.
Mourinho.
Special.
Oh, dear.
Darren Mourinho.
Staying in League One, we did have the Wimbledon derby. Wimbledon hosting MK Dons. And a brilliant win for MK Dons there. Two goals in quick succession in the second half. And it's obviously a huge crime losing that game in Wimbledon, as it meant the demise of Glyn Hodges and Nick Dawes at Wimbledon have both been sacked. So, I mean, don't lose that game. First thing on the contract.
Yeah, signed the deal with that as bullet point number one. And yeah, never something that the Wimbledon fans are going to want to be on the wrong end of that result. Yeah, I just wonder where they're going to go next, really, in terms of management. I can't imagine there's much money floating about at the moment for them to go and get someone in, but they need to turn around their fortunes pretty quickly, Wimbledon, in a lot of trouble down there. And down into League Two, we had two of this season's strugglers in playing out a cliche six-pointer.
Just when it looked like Stevenage had got their first away win of the season, Grimsby that go and equalise in the last minute. But then in true League Two fashion, big hoof down the pitch, pretty much straight from the kickoff, and Stevenage nick it. I mean, that's exactly the sort of moment you want the fans in there. You want those Stevenage fans up in Grimsby on the pitch.
I saw one Grimsby fan on Twitter saying, the only way that this can be more typical of our season is if Holloway was still in charge.
Yeah, he's clearly left his mark on them though, Holloway, hasn't he? It takes a while to get over it.
Sure, I can.
Sometimes you've got to bleed that sort of thing out, haven't you? Sometimes. Get the poison out. Few last-minute losses in a trip down into the non-league just to really get the poison out. And hopefully we'll see them return.
No, leave that there. Finish on that. Bleed out the poison by going into non-league. That's a great ending. They'll be like, Jesus, it's not that bad.
I've just summoned Grimsby to non-league with about 20 games to go. 3 points.
20 games to go.
Only 3 points from safety.
Luke's quiz. Edit that in.
Well, it's back. The coveted Luke's quiz.
It's been a while, isn't it?
Yeah, I missed it.
Thought we'd forgotten about it, but here we are.
Right. It's 3-1 to James. Carlisle shirt on the line. Well, a Millwall or Coventry shirt on the line. That will definitely be a Carlisle shirt. last man standing. We're looking for London clubs. London clubs. Andy to go first.
Is that it? Is that the question? London EFL clubs?
Yeah, London clubs. If you get them all,
we should
go
be able
down
to get
into
them
the National League.
Oh, no.
Millwall.
Shock. I'll start off with AFC Wimbledon.
Charlton.
QPR.
Leighton Orient.
Oh, nice answer.
Brentford.
Oh, you've already gone through all EFL London clubs.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
All six.
Jesus, I've struggled. It's only six.
I think National League's going to decide it.
Okay. Dagenham and Redbridge.
Sutton.
As if. That was my next one. I might take a risk and say Barnett.
Ooh, this is getting tight now.
I genuinely don't think, I don't think I've got any, to be honest with you. Yeah, I don't know any National League teams. Andy, you win this week.
3-2.
Well, it must be that time again. Goal of the week. What have we brought with us this week then?
Yeah, I'll get mine out of the way with early because it has been mentioned already today. Conor Hourihan. Sam said it wasn't even the best goal in that game. I disagree. Ball's come to him on the right-hand side. Left foot, sort of one of those low volleys that's just zipped into the bottom corner. It just oozed class for me, that goal. That was a level above the division. So,
well, I'm going to say that isn't the best goal in that game. Because I'm going to go for one that we haven't mentioned before. I'm going to go for the third one to wrap it up. Jay Fulton coming on late. Ball into the box from Jake Bidwell. Outside of his foot, he just kind of flicks it whilst doing a kind of ballet spin. It's a really odd goal, but it's a nice bit of improvisation. And Colin Murray, we've talked about him on the podcast before, making it awkward in the studio. He's got Michael Morrison
there, isn't he?
he's got Michael Morrison on his own in the studio, looking like Biff from Back to the Future. And he just goes, if you did that, you'd injure your ankle. Anyway, on to the next game. And it's just completely dead.
Oh, I thought he did compare the finish to Dennis Bergkamp as well at one point.
God,
if he'd done that, we'd be talking about it for weeks. But then went on to, it's one of those ones where he's just not friendly enough with Morrison yet to make that sort of joke.
It
won't stop our Colin. It won't stop our Colin. James, you've brought a nomination from a game that isn't that one, or have you picked the other goal?
No, I've got straight away from that game there. Too obvious. Yeah. So I've the second Cambridge goal, Colin Noyle, ball's laid off to him on the edge of the box, and he's just absolutely hammered it top bins. It's perfect. Keepers really die for it as well, but it's just too far out of reach, and it's a great goal. Top corner.
Yeah, not someone who scores many goals either, so that'll give him some plus points.
Yeah, it was a classic sort of celebration from someone who doesn't get on the score sheet too much, doesn't really know how to celebrate, so just runs the width of the pitch, giving it the finger wag, which did did make me smile a little bit. Reminiscent of sort of primary school days, nestling one in the bottom corner and just giving it the finger wag. Yeah, that's my nomination.
Three good nominations there. I mean, I think all good goals. They're all good goals. I said that before. They're all good players. But I think just for the fact that Luke's brought another Colin Murray joke along with his goal, it gets my vote today.
Just do your vote. I'm sick. Just do your vote, man. I'm feeling like Nathan Jones there. So.
Yeah, for the sake of Colin Murray insulting another guest, I'm going to vote for Jay Fulton as well. And that's my first win of goal of the week.
Well done. Well, I think Colin won in a way.
Yeah, he did.
I'm really up against it this week, aren't I? Really up against it. Come back next week for Two's Company, an EFL podcast.
Well, to start our high-risk, high-reward round, there's a game that we haven't mentioned yet that falls on Saturday between, I won't say who it's between, I can just say the name of the derby, the seven-side derby. You sideshow Bob impressions in there. 3 o'clock on Saturday, seven-side derby. Seven goals for me.
Ooh.
Okay. I was going to say nice seven one. Bookings. I'll say seven goals and seven bookings.
Oh, up the stakes.
Yeah, exactly. The reward is going to be high. Luke, you've put a little bit of research into yours, so I'm expecting something big here.
Yeah, after you were talking about Millwall not scoring many goals and drawing a lot of games, I looked up if they'd actually scored more than two goals in a game this season, and they haven't. So with Norwich coming up, going playing the league leaders, I'm going to go high risk. I'm just going to say you're going to pump four past them.
Not
John
three.
Daddy and Co. Not even three. We're going to go straight to four.
Wow.
It hasn't happened, Andy. You don't have to say wow.
No, but I just love the... I'm actually quite offended because you've put it in the high risk, high reward.
there's an opportunity because Emi Buendia's suspended, so this is it.
Oh yeah, well, we'll win now. No point turning up if Buendia's not playing. We're better than them now.
We did sneak a point against them without Buendia, so...
James, have you got a high risk, high reward?
No.
It hasn't bothered this week. Just the two high risk, high rewards. So, even less chance of the podcast getting one right. So on that note, I think all that's left to say is see you boys next week.
See you next Monday.
's gone black. What the hell's happened? It's just black.
We can still see you. I can still.
You can see me.
Yeah.
But anyway, let's just carry on.
Can't see it. We've done the Coventry and the Millwall section. We will go to Luke for headbutt watch. What was there?
Two players that most likely to headbutt weren't playing. I thought I won't bother watching.
I've emailed into iFollow and I did get a refund. So my nomination this week is, I think the Barnett might finally get a win.
He won't let it go.
Just gets one more in there.
Sick of it.
Grimsby against Stevenage. Bit of late action in that one.
Yeah, just a bit.
Thanks, Luke. See you next week.
That's an outtake. Beautiful.